So chapter 9. The joints. Arthrology is the study of the joints. Kinesiology, the movement. We can classify the joints different ways, but what I like to do is classify them as how they move. There's basically three types of movement. Either you can't move at all, you can move a river a lot, or you're sort of moving in the middle. So either freely, slightly, or not at all. A diarthrosis is a freely movable bone, a fully movable joint. A amphiarthrosis, slightly, and a synarthrosis is no movement at all. It's because if you sin, my brothers, you're paralyzed. But when you die, you're free of this mortal coil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Our synarthroses are going to be these guys, such as a suture, a gomphosis, which is in our teeth. A synchondrosis. Now, look at the word. Syn, we know, is a what?
Together.
Coming together. Chondro?
Cartilage.
So it's going to be a coming together of cartilage. This is going to be our epithecial plates. Remember those growth plates at the end of our bones. It used to be cartilage, and then as a kid grows, it becomes what?
Bone.
But before that, it's a synchondrosis. It's a joint, but it still doesn't have much movement. When we look at an amphiarthrosis, we think of an amphibian. An amphibian can go to land, hang out for a while, but then he's got to get what?
Back in the water.
Back in the water. Hangs out there for a while, then he can get back in the land. But he can't stay in each too long, can he? So he's slightly movable, isn't he? He can't go on a big trip to like the Sahara. So he's slightly movable. That would be like the distal tibial fibular joint. Or like a symphysis. So the intervertebral discs, also the pubic symphysis, move slightly. The preeminent bone of bones is going to be the diarthrosis, and we'll get to that in just a moment. As we said, a synchondrosis, two bones, then it's going to fuse, and now it becomes a syndesmosis, or a synostosis, sorry. So we're going to go from synchondrosis to a synostosis. Syn is a coming together. Either it's coming together with cartilage, or it's coming together with what? With bone. So the kid is growing, his epithecial plates are growing. They used to be cartilage. Now once they become bone, they're a what?
Synostosis.
Synostosis. But before, when he was like 10 years old, he had a?
Synchondrosis.
So synchondrosis
is when it's cartilage, and then synostosis is when it's bone.
You got it. There's just examples of the synarthrosis. Here's the amphiarthrosis. Now, our diarthroses are usually going to have a capsule around them. The reason is because the joint itself has fluid. That's the reason it's so mobile. There's fluid inside called synovial fluid. The synovial fluid is not unlike the white of an egg. So as soon as you crack an egg and you see the white, that's what's inside your joints, basically that kind of consistency. So you have to have a capsule around to contain this fluid. The capsule around has to be enough to keep the fluid in, so it's going to be a fibrous capsule on the outside. That's going to contain what's on the inside, which is the membrane that's producing this fluid. And that's why we call the inside membrane a synovial membrane. So the outside's fibrous, the inside's a synovial membrane that secretes this fluid.
So diarthrosis is found in joints?
It's found in freely movable joints. So any of the joints you usually think of, that's going to be a diarthrosis. People don't think about your skull as a joint. You know? So any typical joint is going to be a syn or going to be a diarthrosis. And this is the classic. This is your PIP joint. So it's going to be this joint. So we see, first of all, that we have a proximal phalanx, We have the middle phalanx. We have this area that used to be cartilage. So it's called a what joint? Sin. It used to be a synchondrosis. Now it's bone, so it's a
synostosis.
Synostosis. Now notice that there's space in the joint. That space is covered with what?
Fluid.
That fluid's called? Synovial fluid. That synovial fluid's coming from this pink or this purple layer, which is the inside of the capsule, called the what? Synovial membrane. The outside is the fibrous capsule. So this whole thing's a capsule with those two layers, the inside synovial layer and the outside the fibrous layer. Now the ends of bones, as we discussed before, is going to be covered with a hyaline cartilage. And that hyaline cartilage is called the articular cartilage because, of course, this is an articular joint. Now, some diarthroses have special things in them. They'll have things that are inside the capsule. We call that a collateral ligament or a cruciate ligament. These would be intracapsular. We can also have extracapsular ligaments as well that are going to be outside that fibrous capsule. So either you're inside, intra, or you're outside, which we would call extra. Some of our joints have a special disc between them, not like the vertebrae, but rather a disc that is going to assist in shock absorbing. The knee has this. If we look back at the finger, there's no disc inside of this space. We're really just relying on the fluid to be like a shock absorber. But in our knee, we need more than that. Also, in our knee, we need more stability, so we have more ligaments than we do at our typical joints. We also have bursa, and a bursa is going to be a way to decrease friction. So it's going to be found between two different structures, either between tendons, so two tendons are over each other. You don't want them to rub, because what's going to happen?
You'll get calloused.
Well, I'd get a callus if that was your epidermis, but what's going to happen if you rub something long enough?
Wear it away.
It's going to get inflamed. It's going to be painful, all that stuff. So instead of that, what you do is you put like a bag between the two. So if they rub, all they're rubbing against is the bag. And that's the bursa. So it can be between tendons, between a muscle and a tendon. It can be between two muscles. It can be between ligaments and the bone. It can be between bone and bone. It can be a variety of things. It's like a almost like a synovial fluid, but a little thinner. Yeah. Now remember that tendons attach muscle to bone, and ligaments attach bone to bone. We talked about that before. So here's an example of a bursa. We have bursa in our fingers. These are sheaths. So the sheath is going to be going through the bursa. So because it's going through, we need it lubricated. So it's going to have a fluid in it. I shouldn't do that too much. It's a little weird. So we have that there, and we have that there as well. I need to get out more. Yeah. Okay. So we also notice that we have the tendinous sheaths. And with these sheaths, then it's going to be fluid inside. So we could look at a tenosynovitis, which is inflammation of a tendon and a sheath, tenosynovitis, or it can just be a tendonitis. So how do you differentiate the two? Depends on which one insurance will pay for.
No.
What's determined by that is, if you have pain in your fingers, it's probably going to be a what?
Tenosynovitis.
Because it's the inflammation of the tendon sheath and the membrane. But if you have pain right inside of your palm, it's probably going to be a what?
Tendonitis.
So if the sheath isn't there, you can't call it a tenosynovitis.
Synovitis. Okay, over there.
Yeah, the syno is going to be that part that's going to have the fluid.
Membrane.
Tendonitis would be inflammation of a tendon, and in this case, that's only going to be in your palm. So it's only going to be there. But if it was in your fingers, it would be in these guys, because this is the tendon, and there's the tendon, and then there's the sheath around it. Got it, Jake?
So you would find tenos, how do you pronounce it?
Tenosynovitis.
Tenosynovitis in only in diatrosis joints? Because
usually in diatrosis. Yeah. Now some types. Ball and socket joint, hinge joint, shallow joint, pivot joint, gliding joint, lipsoidal joint. Those are basically some types. Now some movements of our diarthrosis. We can flex, which closes our angle. We can extend, which does what? Opens the angle. So if you're going to the beach, you of course want to flex your muscles so that ultimately that special someone can come up and do, and you do what to them? You extend your hand. So you're there at Muscle Beach. Now you can overdo it. You know, you're really extending your hand to the person and you're overdoing it. You're doing what?
Hyperextending.
You're hyperextending. So you don't want to hyperextend yourself. She's doing what?
Leg flip.
Hyperextension.
Just extension, yeah.
Oh,
but what's she doing here?
Hyperextension.
Why
is she hyper? Oh,
she's going. Yeah. She's bending over backwards for others. Don't want that. Now we also are going to take our arms or legs away from our body, and that's called abduction. If we add them or bring them to, we call it what?
Abduction.
So in this case, she's doing what?
Abduction.
But she gets here, and now she's doing what? Adduction. So there's the AB part, but she can also bring her arm up enough so she's going back to the midline, and that's called adduction. Mostly the legs can only do adduction, and then when you bring them together, it's what? Abduction. So you bring them away, abduction, bring them together, adduction. So it's AB, bring them together, AD. We can do the same thing with our fingers. If we're in the anatomical position and we open our fingers up, what is my index finger doing?
Abduction.
It's abduction, right? What's my small finger doing? It's adducting, isn't it? It's going towards the midline. This guy's going away and this guy's going towards. What's my middle finger doing?
Nothing.
Just in the middle. Just hanging out. We can be elated, or we can be depressed. Either elated. We can protract, or what?
Retract.
We can do circumduction. Now, circumduction looks like rotation. So if I were to do this, doesn't it look like I'm rotating? Mm-hmm. If I had a pencil on there, wouldn't I make like almost like a circle?
Mm-hmm.
But really, what am I doing? I am doing this, which is what?
Abduction.
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 Then I'm doing this, which is what? Extension. Then I'm doing this, which is what? Adduction. Then I'm doing this, which is what?
Flexion.
Put them all together, what do you get?
Circumduction.
Is it rotation? Does it look like rotation? But is it rotation?
No,
it's not. You bring your head like this, this is rotation. This is circumduction. Same as this. Because what are you doing? What are you doing? You're extending, you're AB, you're extending, and you're AD. Now, when we do rotate, we can either rotate inward or we can rotate outward. If we rotate outward, we're going to be rotating laterally or external rotation. If we go inward, we're going to be going medial or inside. So if you just touch your greater tubercle and allow it to go in, that's what rotation?
Inward.
Inward. We also call it?
Medial.
Medial rotation. So if your shoulders are doing this, what do you make?
An M.
An M. For what?
Medial.
Medial rotation. Put your finger on your greater tubercle again. Make it go out. And that's called what?
Lateral.
Because you make a what?
Lateral.
Make an L. Also lateral is called what?
External
rotation. So you do this. External rotation. Do this. It's what?
Medial
rotation. We have supination and pronation. If we take our hand and go from the posterior in the anatomical position, sorry, anterior to posterior, that's called pronation because you're going posterior. But if you have your hand posterior and you go anterior, we call that supination. So if you were to get some soup, you would get it by going posterior to superior, right? And if you wanted to pour it out, you would do what? You would pronate. So getting soup, and then you go, too hot, too hot. Now our big toes can go up. That's going to be inversion. Or they can go down. That's going to be what?
Eversion.
So if you're sitting like an American Indian with your feet together, what are your feet doing?
Inversion.
If you're walking like you have knocked knees, what are your feet doing?
Eversion.
They're everting. Now this is the way we do it in anatomy, but that's not the way that we do it commonly. If you go to a store, they'll say that you are hyperpronating or you're hypersupinating. They use different terms for the feet. That's incorrect, of course. But in this case, what would this be in their parlance, inversion?
Supinating.
Supinating, exactly. So how would you wear out your shoes if you're supinating too much? On the outside, exactly. But if you were doing this, what would your feet be doing?
Pronating.
Which we would call what? Eversion. The feet cannot pronate and supinate, but that's what they give us. Now, the foot cannot extend. The foot can only flex. So the anatomists say that the foot's going to either go posterior or anterior. If it goes posterior, they're going to call it dorsiflexion. If it's going to go anterior, they're going to call it plantar flexion. And you go, that doesn't make any sense. If my foot goes down, it's going posterior. I thought you said the foot going posterior is dorsiflexion, which is this. But this is not your foot going posterior, it's your foot going anterior. Doesn't make any sense. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Are you a loon? No, let me explain. When we're in the womb, which way are our feet facing? Are they facing posterior or anterior? The bottom of your feet. Anterior. The bottom of your feet face anterior, just like in anatomical position. Your feet are the same way. Then as you come out, you grow, your feet do what? They rotate to the way they are now. They used to be like this. But then they rotate. So, your bottom of your feet really is your what? Posterior or anterior? That's your anterior. And what's your posterior? The top of your foot. Okay, look at this. This is the way you are. But imagine this is not my hands, this is your feet. Okay? And that's the way we are in the womb. As we start to walk, actually before then, we start to rotate. So as we rotate, our feet do what? They go down, right? Like they are now? So it used to be, so therefore the bottom of our feet is really what? Anterior. The top of our feet was?
Posterior.
So they call the top of your foot the dorsum, or the dorsal. And the bottom of your foot they call plantar, only to say it's going to be the bottom of your foot. But that's the reason they call it dorsiflexion. So dorsiflexion is going to be raising your toes and your whole foot, and lowering your toes is going to be called what?
Plantar.
Plantar flexion. Easy to remember, because if you had a rose between your toes, you'd be able to plant the rose between your toes by doing what? Plantar flexion. Digging. Whatever. Where do you get plantar warts?
Bottom
of the foot. We also have opposition and reposition. Opposition is why we are where we are and apes are not. Because we could oppose. That means we can hold things. An ape can only hold things like this. We can hold things like this. So they can't hold a cell phone. It's tough for an ape to use a cell phone. So therefore we advanced because we could use cell phones. And other things. When we look at the humeral scapular joint, that's going to be between the glenoid and the humerus itself. It's going to be a primary joint of importance. We're going to have a number of muscles here. The supraspinatus, the infraspinatus, teres minor, and also the subscapularis. These are familiar to us because they're going to be in what fossa? Supraspinous fossa. Which one's this going to be in? Infraspinous fossa. What's this going to be in? Subscapular. Subscapular fossa. Okay. So if we were to fracture or dislocate our humerus, which way would it go given the fact that this is a tendon of a muscle, that's a tendon of a muscle, that's a tendon of a muscle, that's a tendon of a muscle? Where do you suppose it's going to go if it dislocates the humerus, which is sitting right here? It's going to go inferior, isn't it? It's going to go inferior and anterior, so it drops right into here. Why? No tendons. Okay, so let's look at a picture. I'm going to review some muscles that are related to the shoulder. I know you don't know the muscles yet, but this is a nice introduction. To throw a baseball, a pitcher has to use her shoulder muscles. Agreed? So what does she do? She does this. Right? She does that. Right? Okay. So first of all, do that, she has to do this. She has to do this. Her arm has to go into what?
Lateral.
Abduct. She has to abduct. She's going to use her supraspinous muscle to do that. So the supraspinous is going to abduct. So we're going to abduct. That's just to go 10 degrees, so we're just doing this. Now she wants to go up here, though, doesn't she? So she's going to fully adduct, she needs to use her deltoid muscle. That's the muscle of the shoulder that has a big V in it. And that's the reason they call it the deltoid, because it looks just like a delta, an upside down, you know, delta, an upside down triangle. So now she's here. Now she's got to bring her humerus into lateral rotation. What does lateral rotation look like? Big L. She's got to do that. So to bring her humerus into lateral rotation, she needs to use her teres minor, which I know is a new muscle for you, but also the infra spinatus. So there she is, just this. And then what? She's got to throw it, which would mean what? What is that? Media rotation, yes. She's going to go into media rotation. And she's going to use her subscapularis muscle to do that. So what is it?
Abduction.
What muscle? Supraspinatus. And then? Deltoid. Teres minor and infraspinatus. And then? With? Subscapularis. It'll be there, you can bet on that. Now the elbow joint is very interesting, so is the hip. Joint prostheses are of interest, so is the knee. The knee joint has, we already mentioned that, the menisci, those are going to be those shock absorbers. We have a medial version and a lateral version. The knee has four major ligaments as well. We already talked about these ligaments. They're going to be outside the capsule. So we term them what? Extra. Extra. Extra cap. Extra cap. Extra cap. Extracapsular, very good. You said that? Okay. Whatever. So here's your knee. Here's ligament on the outside called the extracapsular. It's lateral, therefore it's called the lateral collateral. Medial is going to be the medial collateral. We also have two ligaments that are on the inside and across called the cruciates. Person that dies on a cross is called crucified. So they're cruciate ligaments because they cross. They give your knee stability when your knee goes forward. Gives your knee stability when it goes backwards. That's called the AP draw test, where you pull the tibia anterior or posterior. You've heard of a person trashing their lateral cruciate ligament? No? ACL? PCL? Yeah. That should be anterior and posterior cruciates. Change that. Anterior and posterior cruciate ligaments. It says anterior and lateral. It should be anterior and posterior.
So what is the answer for the posterior cruciate is on the posterior?
It's on the posterior tibia. So put tibia in there for that line. So that's going to be right here. That's posterior tibia. Now the ankle joint is of interest. And some joint disorders. You can read about that. As far as arthritis is concerned, there's three types. Oftentimes this will be used by medical professionals as a way to get rid of the friggin' patient. Get out of here, you got arthritis. Get out of here, got arthritis. But the next question would be, but doctor, what kind of arthritis do I have?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Usually they mean osteoarthritis. That's wear and tear arthritis. The characteristics of osteoarthritis are that we get crepitus, or we get lots of noise from the joint. Activity tends to help it. Inactivity tends not to. So think about the YMCA. People in the YMCA are in their you know, doing their stuff. You know, they're doing this. And YMC.
Yeah, that's
and you do that? That's cool. Cool, man.
At the YMCA.
Oh, you do at the YMCA? Okay. And so therefore, remember, osteoarthritis helped by movement. Whereas rheumatoid arthritis, quite the opposite. It's hurt by movement. People do not like to move. Rheumatoid arthritis. And gouty arthritis, it doesn't matter. If you move or don't move, it's bad. It's painful. Even if you have a sheet on your little big toe, it's very, very painful. So gouty arthritis, doesn't matter if you move or you don't move. Men that are middle-aged and they have a diet of rich foods get gouty arthritis. Gout is dependent upon heat. If there's no heat, then you will get gout. If there's heat, you won't. So therefore, you won't get gout in your spine. Why? It's too hot. Will you get any gout in your, you know, would you get gout in your head? No. In your shoulders?
Usually in the feet, no?
Yeah, usually in the feet. Why?
Is that like something you can get rid of?
Yeah. Usually you take a pill, it's gone in 3 days.
High uric acid.
Yeah. So it's only going to be coming from the area where there's going to be no heat. So it's going to be in your toes. Could it be in your hands? Yes. Elbows? Yes. Knees? But the classic is the big toe. So if you want to help gout, do you want to have any kind of athletic activity? Osteoarthritis?
Yes.
Rheumatoid?
Yeah.
So you want to rest rheumatoid and you want to rest gout. Yes?
Which one you said didn't matter?
Gouty arthritis. It doesn't matter. It's bad no matter what. Well, rest is better, but it's still going to be painful. Whereas rheumatoid, if you rest it, it won't be painful.
So if you have arthritis in your spine, I've trained for a marathon, but that makes sense. I shouldn't be running for that. But you're saying that it's helpful.
Absolutely.
Pounding, there's things with pounding.
Just do it and see. If you train properly and get a good core, I don't think it's going to cause a problem. It's probably osteoarthritis. Yeah, I wouldn't. Okay. Pretty good, huh? Yes.